Thank you very much, and thank you to the Foundation for inviting me. And I will probably focus a bit more on science in policy making than policy for science, and other things be good to pick up in the conversation. Now, this is a very beautiful setting, and I've got some very strong memories of this building. I'm guessing that before you came down, you were maybe having coffee upstairs in what I think is called the River Room. And I first went there when I was 17, and I applied for a scholarship from the Worshipful Company of Scientific Instrument Makers to study engineering at university. And I came for an interview and had to enter at one end of that rather long room, and the interview panel was at the other end. And I still have that memory of a walk that felt like 10 minutes of my shoes clattering on the floor up there, getting to where the interview panel was sitting. And I'm amazed I got a word out, let alone a scholarship. But the second memory I have of this building is of this room. And this room is where I had my wedding reception 25 years ago. My main memory is that during the endless photographs that we were strengthened in the knowledge that while our guests were eating up the canapes, we had a special room, I think it's the library if you saw it upstairs, put aside our own protected canapes. But when we got there, some friends of my parents had discovered the nice quiet room, sat down and ate the canapes. And I'm not joking when I tell you that my husband has still very bitter, despite the passing of the years and the passing of many of the culprits. So I have a strong connection to this place. And the reason that we had our wedding reception here is that my father was a livery man of this wonderful company. And there are three lessons I learned from him that have shaped my work as head of the government policy profession, where I've been working with Sir Patrick Vallance as the government's chief scientific advisor to strengthen the links between policy and the science and engineering professions. And the first lesson is the importance of science, engineering and engineering. Now, my father was born in Lviv, which was then in Poland, and is now Lviv in the Ukraine. And at the age of 10, he was deported by Stalin to a forced labor collective farm in Siberia while his father was imprisoned in the Gulag. And he survived and found refuge in this wonderful country for which he and us are forever grateful. And he was interviewed about his experiences, and we have that as a very helpful record. And he was asked, what would he have become if the war had not happened? And he was part of a family that had actually lived in Lviv for over 200 years, a place to which he never returned. And he said, well, actually, I probably would have run the very successful family steel business in Lviv. But in Siberia, he and his mother struggled to survive the cold and the starvation, and very many people died. And he said he came to realize that the solutions to the most important problems of the world and the essence of life, food, water, energy, need engineers to address them. So that's what he became. The department I lead now, Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, has as its purpose to make our air cleaner, our land greener, our water purer, and our food more sustainable. My dad would have approved. And the issues that we tackle are not for DEFRA alone, they're not for government alone. They are big issues, some of which you'll be addressing later today. So net zero, which I think your next session is on, is a domestic and an international public policy challenge. It requires action on almost every front, moving to renewable energy, changing the way we use our land and produce our food, creating less waste, reusing our resources. Science and policy work hand in hand in government, in our domestic work, in our international work, to identify what works and to shape the research programs for what we don't yet know works. Adapting to climate change, something on which my department leads in government, is essential because we are already dealing with the impact of climate change, and more is to come, however successful we are in mitigating climate change. We need to build our buildings differently for a climate of extreme heat and cold. We need to build flood defences using great engineering, but also using nature-based approaches by planting trees in the right places, even reintroducing beavers. And from engineers to animal scientists, the policy solutions are grounded in the science. Food security, again, both a domestic issue, but more broadly, really an international issue, which then drives up food prices, requires an understanding of supply chains and the opportunities to improve productivity, including through precision breeding and automation. So for all these big questions, we need and have in government and in the UK some of the best mathematicians, scientists and engineering working hand in hand with policy professionals and collaborating with others, as I say, beyond government and worldwide. So lesson one, which you all know, science and engineering matters. The second lesson came from a very simple question that my dad would ask me. He said, where did you have lunch today? And if the answer was I'd had a sandwich at my desk, he'd say that's the wrong answer. He was a great believer in finding the coffee room or canteen at the university where he worked, because that's where you would find colleagues from other disciplines. He was an engineer who worked with biologists to unlock the benefits of how body parts like the kidney worked in the body as a system with feedback loops. He believed in the alchemy that comes from a multidisciplinary team, working across boundaries, embracing complex systems. When I worked in the wake of the Grenfell Tower fire on building safety and had to build a team instantly, I reached for the widest mix of professions and expertise. I needed engineers, I needed scientists, project managers, data scientists, mindfulness experts. I didn't know what the answers were going to be. I didn't even really know what the question was. We shaped our question. Our mission was how to make people in high-rise buildings safe from fire and the fear of fire now and in the future. I need people who understood materials, construction, data and human behavior. I certainly needed scientists and engineers, and they needed to operate in a program where we understood parliament, government, money, etc. So my dad's lesson, most interesting problems are systems problems, and nothing can be solved alone. And in May, Patrick Vallance and I launched a systems thinking toolkit for civil servants to provide really practical ways to take a problem, break it into parts, and recognize and manage the relationships between those parts. Many of those tools take 5 minutes to use, and then that can lead to deeper work as needed. And in the policy profession, we are in government, we're developing training on how to build a multidisciplinary team. I kind of have a frustration that sometimes we'll reach out to big consultancy firms, no dispersion on KPMG, but we reach out to some of these to consultancy firms, and they can very instantly, because their business depends on it, take the issue, size it, and work out what the kind of mixture of people that you need in order to tackle that problem. We don't really teach in government how to do that, and I'm particularly keen that policy professionals are really expert in that and that know how to build those teams. We're piloting programs that bring professions together to learn the basics together of seeing policy through to delivery. By learning together, you also spend time together and build those relationships and community that my dad wanted me to develop over lunch somewhere other than at my desk. The third question comes from my dad trying to persuade me to write to the Worshipful Company of Scientific Instrument Makers, who gave me that scholarship, and update them on my career. But I was too embarrassed to do that because I didn't become an engineer. Now, it was a distinct possibility that I wasn't going to become an engineer, as I was always very fascinated by politics. And I worked for a year for Marconi Defence Systems, and they sent me, as an engineer, and they sent me on an engineering practices course where my welding left quite a lot to be desired, but I learned various things, and we had to do a project. And everybody else, all the other students and apprentices I was with, built a machine that would they could put in their car to tell them if the lights had been left on, because that was not an automatic thing that existed in your car. And I didn't do that. I built a voting machine to count votes using single transferable vote. So I think maybe at that moment I might have realised like that, but my interests were at that time elsewhere. So I went into government and as an economist and policy advisor. And it took me a long time to work out what I know now. But I used my science and engineering training every day to make better policy. I have to apply systems thinking, as I was saying before. I have to access and understand evidence and data. Even in writing policy advice, which is a really basic tool of a policy professional, I realised that the way in which I structure my advice is, what do I know? What model am I using? And what am I recommending as a result? And all that comes from my scientific training. So now, as head of the government's policy profession, I'm deeply committed to getting more people directly into policy who have got a STEM background, to ensuring that those who come into government as scientists have the opportunity for a spell in policy roles, and that the capability programme that we're building for policy professionals will include policy basics that are suitable for the wider set of what I say are policymakers. So we have policy professionals whose anchor might be in policy, but a much wider set of policymakers, which includes a range of professions, including scientists and engineers. So the three lessons from my dad are now shaping the policy profession. Science and engineering are critical to solving our policy problems. Multidisciplinary teams and systems thinking are crucial in successful policymaking. And we need more scientists and engineers in the policy profession, and equip scientists and engineers to be policymakers. Now, I learned another lesson from my dad that's not really relevant to our subject, but I'm going to gratuitously share it, and it's about the power of love. Because on that same video where my dad was asked what would he have been if there'd been no war, he also mused about meeting my mum, who he met in London after the war. She was born in Berlin and was a survivor of Belsen concentration camp. And he said, well, I do sometimes wonder where we would have met, but I think I know. I would have gone to Germany for postgraduate studies and we would have met there. There was no doubt in his mind that they were meant to be together, war or no war. Thank you very much.